My name's Tom Jennings, and this is the 24 Frames Cast. And on this episode, I'm going to be taking a look at the world of UHD films at home, the kind of culture that has come up from this new format, and beginning to give you 10 recommendations if you were thinking of starting a collection or you're just looking for some suggestions. I'm pretty certain that some of the ones I'm going to suggest to you, you may already be in possession of. So, UHD, what do I think about it? Well, I was a fairly late adopter to getting into UHD. And I think part of the reason was I was perfectly happy with Blu-ray for years. And I could definitely see why Blu-ray was superior to DVD. It was immediately apparent. But it took a while for me to get the necessary technology to really benefit from the upgrade in quality. The first ever kind of high definition television I ever had was a 1080i one. Of course, Blu-ray was 1080p. And when I kind of upgraded my television and my Blu-ray player, you could really see the difference. And I was completely happy with Blu-ray for years. And when it comes to my kind of setup at home, I have in the top floor of my house, I have pretty much it's like a miniature cinema. Although I'm always have home cinemas with projectors and things like that. It is never the same as going to the cinema. I have really noticed that the size of the screen just never compares. But I have a pretty decent setup up in the film room. I've got a 120-inch screen, a 1080p projector, and it's all blacked out. There's kind of like lovely surround sound speakers and all that type of stuff. And it's a pretty great place to enjoy films. And when I bought my projector, I seem to think there was only one 4K UHD projector that was on the market at the time, and it cost absolutely thousands more than the one that I ended up getting. So that is where I do the main viewing of my films. But downstairs, I do have a OLED LG 55-inch television, which is obviously HDR. And I began building my UHD collection before I actually had a UHD player. I was purchasing films, buying like the package where you had the Blu-ray and the UHD in the same one. And I experimented with playing UHDs through my 1080p projector, and the image was always off. There was it didn't quite interpret the colours from downsizing from 4K to 1080p. There was sometimes things would get kind of lost in digital translation, and you would end up with either very overblown colours. And it never really looked that good. But downstairs on the television, UHD really popped into life. And I began to notice that the difference in UHD and Blu-ray, although not as pronounced as the upgrade from DVD to Blu-ray, certainly was beginning to become apparent to me that the new investment in UHD discs, from my perspective anyway, was going to be worth it. And I think it's worth just pointing out that there seems to be, I think, a misconception with a lot of people in their brains that somehow the better a film looks, it might actually improve the film. And that just simply isn't true. If a film has terrible storytelling, badly directed and bad acting, just because it looks a lot better than it might have done on DVD and Blu-ray, it simply doesn't make it a better film. I think what I've noticed is with UHD and HDR content is I can certainly appreciate the image a lot better than I was before. Again, I've never watched a film on UHD that I've been a bit iffy about and come away and gone, oh well, do you know that just because I've seen it in this more kind of picture perfect way, it's now a better film. That just simply doesn't happen. But crucially, as I go back to, I think you can appreciate certainly a lot more of the filmmaking, the shot composition, just when the image quality is that good. And I think a kind of an epiphany moment for me was when I compared and contrasted the Jaws Blu-ray, and the UHD, and the difference in the quality of the image was quite stunning. Again, it doesn't jump out you immediately. This is what I tend to find. Once your eyes have adjusted to seeing a UHD, you certainly begin to appreciate them a lot more. And once I had gotten into UHD and got the technology right and decided that I loved them, of course it was the perfect excuse to do what all film nerds do and start buying all the films you already own on UHD again. And I have never looked back since. Also, I think it's worth noting that sometimes for a format to really take off, you have to kind of, the boutique labels really are the ones that kind of drive this forward. I was just waiting for Criterion to get into the UHD business, and I'm really pleased that they have, especially as the fact now that you can, that they've you know, started, obviously they kind of have their UK offshoot now, and some of the films that they've put out are beginning to kind of find their way into the UK market. I do think it's also worth noting, actually, if you are going to kind of get into this world, you can have, and as I will be talking about when I get into the films that I've chosen, when you have films from Criterion in America, if they haven't come out in the UK, the 4K discs are region free, which has certainly been very helpful. But one thing I did notice with the new format was the amount of YouTubers that had begun appearing. And when I talk about the kind of the culture of this format, I think it's kind of worth just talking a little bit about it, because what I have noticed, and I'm not going to name names here, I don't like doing that with other content creators if I'm not so keen on their work, but I noticed a lot of YouTubers started out in which they would forensically go through these new discs. And on the whole, I think it's fairly safe to say that practically every UHD that has come out is an improvement on what has gone before. But you will literally get people who will say something like, oh, I've got the North Korean limited edition laser disc import of this film. And if you look at 17 minutes 49, the colour grading on that version of Blue Velvet is far superior to Criterion's new UHD. So I cannot recommend in any way you pick up the Criterion thing. And I sit there and I think it has promoted this kind of mindset of looking at films, not watching the actual film, but literally just staring at the image, trying to find something about it to fault. And it's not to say that I don't think that there are times when transfers onto home video have been truly god-awful. An example I can give of that would have to be The Longest Day, which has had digital noise reduction applied to it so forcefully that everyone's face looks waxy. The image just does not look organic at all. And you will often hear these people going on and on and on about film grain. And there seems to be people who love film grain, there's people who don't like film grain, whatever. But with what happened with The Longest Day, I can perfectly see why people will be up in arms about how bad that film looked. There was a couple of other ones. I mean, I seem to remember when Patton came out on Blu-ray, they DNR'd that to death, and they did do the right thing because of the outrage and re-released the film in what I consider to be one of the best looking Blu-rays ever made. Gladiator had it done as well, and they did a disc replacement program. So there certainly is, I think, room for discontent to be voiced, and I think it's important from a film heritage perspective that when something is so looks as bad as something like The Longest Day does, and which still hasn't been given a re-release, I really wanted it to be picked up by a boutique label like Twilight Time or something. That didn't actually happen, but I still think, you know, perhaps Kino could get hold of it. If someone, a boutique label, could get hold of that film and give it a proper release, that would be great. But yeah, there's still room for that. But I think it's gone too far with a lot of the content I've watched. I have seen literally people make hour-long videos in which they forensically go through something like Raiders of the Lost Ark. And at the end, they're like, you know, just don't buy this film. It's not worth it because of X, Y, Z. And I think it's, it just seems to be people trying to kind of demonstrate their knowledge of the technical limitations of various different incarnations of these films. And I, to be honest, I find it quite eye-rollingly boring. But there is also a really healthy community of people online who are really good at doing these types of reviews. And I'll leave some links to these people. So there's a chap called The Movie Collector and a guy called Jeff Rousseau who does films at home. And they do really good deep dives into UHDs. They're very passionate about the format, and they present their arguments to and for a given release in a very compelling way. And they're the type of people I tend to gravitate towards. And I also think it's worth noting as well that I think UHD is a really important format as well, because films that I think I was a bit worried were going to kind of fall between the cracks are now, I mean, these labels are picking them up and giving them release. And certainly in one of the ones I'm going to be talking about in my recommendations, it never got a Blu-ray release on its own until Criterion kind of came in on the game. And also, we need physical media. I think it's you see with especially one massive concern that I have is the kind of the retrospective applying of modern standards to content from times past. And you're going to see, I still don't know if it's true. I have heard a rumour that, for example, Disney edited The French Connection on Disney Plus to remove the N-word. And if they did, shame on them, because that is, it's in the context of that scene, it actually makes sense. And I think, you know, if we're that precious about this type of thing, let's just stick a warning before it. But it does make me think, well, I'm never ever going to get rid of my Blu-ray copy of The French Connection, because if the version I'm going to see on streaming isn't what came out in the 1970s, no one can take my disc away from me. And likewise, if films are coming out in UHD, I think it certainly keeps things relevant. And, you know, as I'll be talking about later in this season, the 24 Frames Cast, where I'm going to be reviewing some film streaming apps, a lot of studios will ask you to sign up to their film streaming services, but they don't put their full catalog on. And obviously I think there's a variety of kind of financial reasons why they don't do that, but I still think it's important, certainly from my perspective as a film collector and an aficionado of cinema, that there's these formats to collect. I enjoy having a collection, much to my girlfriend's dismay, who always says that my living room looks a bit like a Blockbuster Video, but I take that as a compliment. So, what I'm going to do next is pick out 10 UHD releases, which to me have kind of become essential, and I think that would be a good place to start if you were thinking about adopting the format. And if you have adopted the format, there could be some recommendations in here for you to pick up if you have been umming and ahhing. I'm going to present them in absolutely no particular order other than the order that I wrote them down in, and I will begin with Powell and Pressburger's The Red Shoes, which Criterion released a few years ago. I think it's fair to say, I don't wish to kind of sound slightly bombastic here, that this is hands down the best looking home video purchase I have ever made in all my life. I am ashamed to admit this, but I owned The Red Shoes on DVD, on Blu-ray, and then UHD, and I didn't watch the film until I picked up the UHD. And the reason I'm ashamed to admit it, because obviously it's a complete shocking waste of money, and I actually adored this film. It might be my favourite Powell and Pressburger film, and I'm not going to be reviewing the films in this segment, I'm just going to be talking about how they look, but suffice to say, Criterion have knocked it out of the park with this one. This should be the first film you pick up, bar none. I picked it up on eBay. I think I paid about 28 quid from it, from a company called Rare Waves. I think it normally retails about 30 quid to have it imported over from America. It hasn't been released here in the UK yet. I hope that changes. But £30 for a Criterion Blu-ray UHD is pretty much the going price. I was in FOP the other day in Manchester, and it does seem to be that that's kind of the given kind of recommended retail price that people are sticking to. And yeah, even at £30, if I paid £50 for that release, yeah, I would have still considered it a bargain. So number one is The Red Shoes. Number two was a film I spoke about earlier. That was Jaws. I have owned Jaws on every format. I've seen it at the cinema, wherever. And I think the UHD of the film just brings it to life even more. As I said, UHDs don't make a film better, but they certainly can make you appreciate them a whole lot more. And for me, the standout scene in this really was at the beginning, when they're kind of on the beach and the kind of Jaws still attacks, and you see kind of like the the detail in the cloud and the sun going down, it just looks absolutely beautiful. And the stuff out on the water as well, I thought looked great. Perhaps it does show off the artifice of the shark a little bit more than perhaps the filmmakers were intending, but it never gets to the point where it's distracting to me. And I would also say about Jaws as well, one of the things I'd have liked about the release was it included the original mono soundtrack. Jaws, where it had a 5.1 soundtrack done for its DVD, it had a 7.1, I believe, for its Blu-ray, and it's got an Atmos soundtrack for its UHD release. But I always like, when I watch films, I always like to try and watch them sort of how they would have been presented when they were first released in the cinema. And the mono soundtrack on this just sounds absolutely brilliant. Like I said, if you've got the technology, you might want to kind of play around with the Atmos option, but for me it was mono all the way. But Jaws, and you can pick this one up for like 10 quid at the moment, I think, on Amazon and HMV and places like that. It's often part of like 2 for or 3 for £30 deals and stuff like that in HMV, but I can't imagine anyone doesn't like Jaws, and it's never looked any better. Number three was a film which my first viewing of this was a pan and scan video that was released as part of an MGM, something called the Modern Classics Collection. And it was really bizarre because some of these films were, they had things like Manhattan from Woody Allen and Annie Hall, and they all had widescreen releases. I picked up Ryan's Daughter on VHS as well as part of this, and that was in widescreen. And this one wasn't, and it was 2001, A Space Odyssey. And so my first ever viewing on the home video format was a pan and scan version of this film, which, if you know anything about 2001, seems slightly absurd given how we know this film was shot. I then managed to pick up, I think I taped it actually off TCM, which had a widescreen presentation. The Kubrick estate has always been very good at jumping on new formats. So obviously I picked up the DVD, it looked incredible. The Blu-ray looked even better. There has been a new restoration of the film overseen by Christopher Nolan. And no word of a lie, when I watched this film on UHD, I was so blown away with it that I sort of, the film finished, I went back and it was still about something like 9 o'clock in the evening. And I literally put the film back in and watched it again. That's how good it looked. The standout scene is when Hal is being disconnected. This comes with a Dolby Vision option as well. And Dolby Vision is, some films have it, some films don't, but Dolby Vision kind of provides a slightly different kind of color timing. And just seeing the kind of the reds and the how pristine the image looks. And it looks like it hasn't, there's no kind of like kind of artificial kind of manipulation that's taking place. It just seems like you're watching a scan that's come straight from the 70mm print. It clips the Red Shoes in terms of its picture quality, but I've never seen 2001 look this good. And it's kind of annoying because obviously you want to watch 2001 on the biggest screen possible, but I don't know, I kind of flip between kind of watching it on my projector or downstairs, and I always sometimes feel like I'm missing out by not seeing it on the biggest screen possible. And certainly if I do upgrade my projector to a UHD one, which I'm hoping to do in the next year or so, this will probably be the first film that I ever screen on it, because it is absolutely fantastic. A really nice box set as well. And again, I've seen this one appearing in kind of 2 for £25 offers, so definitely pick it up. Number four, I'm going to go with a BBC release, which is Planet Earth 2. BBC nature documentaries, they're pretty incredible. I mean, I've always, you know, they're kind of a staple if you live in Britain, you know, having David Attenborough narrate the kind of the private lives of penguins is something that most of us have grown up on. And the BBC have been really good at putting these films out, and putting these TV series out on the format. And you can pick up any of their BBC nature documentaries in UHD, but and they all look pretty great, but the standout for me so far has been Planet Earth 2. Just such a wonderful image. I think it's almost worth noting as well that in my experience of UHD, most films now are shot at 4K and then the image actually gets downgraded to 2K because of the kind of the complexities of using special effects. In fact, all the picks that I'm making today, bar Planet Earth 2, are older films that have been shot on film, because I think you're getting closer to how these films would have looked when they'd been projected. And I think the UHD format really complements older films that have been shot on various film formats. And Planet Earth 2 is, I think, the only one in my selection that was shot on digital cameras. And you really do, for Lam and I work in that realm, and you really do feel like that you're watching the image that's come straight from the camera onto the memory card, into the editing suite, a bit of colour grading, and it's almost like for like. You do definitely feel like you're watching something which was shot at 4K and you're seeing it at 4K. There has been no kind of downgrading or manipulation of the image. So yeah, Planet Earth 2 at number 4. At number 5, this was actually came out on Kino in America. It's not actually an HDR film, it's just a 4K presentation, but it's Billy Wilder's The Apartment. This has had a great Blu-ray release in the UK from Arrow. I've got, I think MGM put a version out, and then Arrow went and did a restoration, but obviously that from a 4K restoration. The version they put out was only a 1080p Blu-ray, and Kino have got hold of this 4K scan and put it in. It looks absolutely wonderful. I've never seen The Apartment look this good. And it really kind of did breathe new life into that film. At number 6, I'm going to go with Ridley Scott's Blade Runner. Blade Runner has had a kind of a slightly odd series of the Blu-ray that came out for Blade Runner now is actually quite old. And this sort of brings me into a small pet peeve that I have with studios, because they went back to Ridley Scott's Final Cut and have released it now in this UHD HDR format, and it looks absolutely stunning. But what they didn't do was upgrade the previous Blu-ray release that's come out, and that Blu-ray release was quite a low-end code, was encoded at quite a low rate, and it does need a remastering. And it really annoys me, because I'm like, if you're going to go to all that effort to do the UHD, at least give people the remastered Blu-ray as well. The Unforgiven UHD that came out, they did that. The new one for Once Upon a Time in the West, I think it's a little bit lazy. And also, I think if you're gonna, it would entice more people, I think, into kind of upgrading, or even if you haven't got a UHD player yet and you were thinking about doing it, if you released Blade Runner in a remastered format on UHD and it had the remastered Blu-ray, I think it becomes more enticing for people who haven't adopted the format yet to pick it up, just so they've got both copies for the future. But again, it's a small pet peeve, but it's one that I certainly have. At number 7, one of my all-time favourite films, and the package that came out from Studio Canal was simply just heaven if you love this film. And the film I'm talking about is Francis Ford Coppola's Apocalypse Now. Every single version of the film, the original cut, the redo, and then this new version, the final edit or what have it, are all included along with the Blu-rays, along with Hearts of Darkness. Just an absolute fantastic package. And this one as well, I think the audio upgrade on this to the Dolby Atmos soundtrack, Apocalypse Now has always sounded great. It was one of the, I suppose, one of the really first kind of films where a surround sound track was really, really kind of used so profoundly. And the it just sounds incredible. And Dolby Atmos, the image is absolutely stunning. It's the best this film has ever looked. I'm still that original theatrical cut is my favourite version, but occasionally if I'm kind of feeling like I'm changing things up, I'll watch kind of one of the slightly more extended versions. But I think all in all, it's about 6 discs, and it's an absolute bargain. I think it was £30 I paid for it, but that is damn near essential as well. This next one I might be slightly more niche, or I don't think it's going to be kind of popular as the other ones, but I would go with the Star Trek original cast movie collection, because Star Trek had a fairly, the Blu-rays that came out a few years ago didn't look great. They had a lot of digital noise reduction applied to them. They did look a bit waxy, and sometimes I think the colours were very muted. And Paramount have absolutely nailed it with this box set. All of those first 6 films look great, and they've got a nice Dolby Vision encoding as well. And as well as, of course, as going back to my other point I was making about putting in the remastered Blu-rays, they've got the remastered Blu-rays in there. They haven't changed over the soundtracks from the original 7.1 that came out on the original Blu-rays, but I don't really think that's a problem. And when I went back and watched these films, with the exception of The Final Frontier, which just really suffers from, obviously I know it had its budget reduced quite a lot, and just this kind of awful amount of physical comedy. It's still not an abysmal film. It's just not that great. But just six really... It's a really solid selection of films. I still can't decide which one is my favourite. It'd have to probably be between The Wrath of Khan and The Undiscovered Country. I know everyone says The Wrath of Khan, so I sort of feel like I should try and be cool and go with The Undiscovered Country. But I think I tend to kind of side towards The Wrath of Khan every time I watch it, because I think it is a pretty great film. I'm also a big fan of the original, the motion picture, and that has been given as well there's two versions of it. On this, you get the original theatrical version, and they have also released the kind of the special edition. I actually think I prefer the original version. I don't really think that kind of the extra effects or of the special edition really add a whole heap to the film. But anyway, it's a great little box set, I think. All six films look great, and you can also pick it up at the moment on Amazon for like £35, so it's a bit of a bargain to boot. At number nine, another kind of classic series that's been given a release, and that's Francis Ford Coppola's The Godfather. I compared the... I don't want to sound like one of these boring nerds who kind of constantly drone on about picture quality and that kind of stuff, but I compared the new Blu-rays, and the new UHDs, to the previous Blu-ray edition. I do think the colour timing looks a lot better on these. You've got a Dolby Vision colour grade in there, which is how I watch the films. I thought it looked fantastic. I have seen a few videos in which people kind of pick holes in them and take them to task, but I personally think this is the best presentation of The Godfather I have ever seen. I wouldn't recommend, however, picking up the UHD box set with all three films. And I would buy them individually, because one, the box set costs like £45. But if you buy them individually, you can pick them up for about £15 each. I have seen them in two for £30 offers on HMV. But you also get the remastered Blu-ray in there as well. So just from... And again, I've made my point clear on how I feel about the kind of the remastered Blu-ray. So that's how I pick these films up. Obviously, it's entirely up to you how you do it, but that's what I would recommend. And last but not least, this is a relatively recent release. It came out this year. It was put out by Criterion. And it's one of my favourite westerns of all time. I had the DVD for a number of years. I was waiting for a Blu-ray release, which never happened. And then all my prayers were answered when Criterion put out the UHD, and it's Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. I was very sceptical as to how good this film could look. Obviously, it's quite a gritty, earthy film. And the DVD was fine. It was, you know, we got the kind of this new edit of the film. But Criterion have absolutely... just knock this one out of the park. It's a four disc collection. I paid £45 for it on eBay. It was worth every single penny. You get several versions of the film. They all look fantastic. You get the Blu-rays included as well, so you've got the four, and you've got those in there as well. And yeah, I was so impressed with how this film looked. It's absolutely beautiful. I didn't think it was going to be possible, and I think it's a really good example of why having the UHD format keeps films like this from falling between the cracks. Because it's hard to see, if it wasn't for a Criterion, how, you know, would MGM really have thought there was much of a market for Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid? And the answer with this release is most certainly yes. I know it's been a big seller for them, and everyone I've spoken to about it is absolutely loving it. So that would be my top 10 picks for UHDs. If you have any, then do let me know at 24framescast@gmail.com. Just drop me an email or send me a tweet. I'm on Twitter, and it's at Thomas24FC. So that is going to be it for this episode of the 24 Frames Cast. I will be back next week with another episode. I haven't decided what one it's going to be yet, so it's going to be a lovely surprise for you when it drops. Many thanks for listening, and I'll be in contact again soon. Bye.